Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
Welcome, crew, to After Hours on a Thursday night. Hopefully everybody's doing well. We're going to be rehashing a topic tonight that we've covered. I know we've covered multiple times before, but in light of a lot of the stuff going around, these claims of demonetization, which technically are ad restrictions, I've noticed, I've had the opportunity to look at a few channels with people complaining about this. So we're going to talk about titles, tags, and descriptions, because in looking at their stuff, it bothered me, because that stuff has to be in play for these algorithms, these computers to pick up on the context of what the video is. And if they can't pick it up correctly, then they can't place it in that ad pool, same way as it makes it hard for them to recommend it or hard for them to suggest it and do a lot of other things as well. So there's multiple reasons that good titles, tags, and descriptions, as well as thumbnails. I didn't put thumbnails in the title, but we'll probably hit on that a little bit too, because you've actually got multiple algorithms out there when you're talking about YouTube that are working, and they're looking at all that stuff. So it's really important that we do our best to try to make that information within all of those things relevant. That way the computers can get that within context. And not only that, but if you're talking about monetization and maybe having to go through a manual appeal or something like that, realize too that you're dealing with somebody that most likely, Silicon Valley or something like that, is not a firearm person, or whatever your niche might be. They might not be a makeup person or whatever the case may be. And without some type of relevancy and cohesiveness across all of those things, it might make it hard for them to figure out exactly what the context is. Does that fall under educational material and so forth and so on? So before we jump into all that, though, I'm going to run through the panel here and let everybody kind of introduce themselves and say hi. We'll start with the gun snob. What's happening, man?
Oh, not much. Just getting over being sick. Glad to be here.
And we've got Mr. Rich White.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Doing well. Night Strike in the house.
Shall not be infringed.
And we've got Mr. Budget with us.
Hey, thanks for the invite, Clover.
Yeah. The illustrious G-Webs. What's happening, bro?
Hey, thanks for the invite. I'm looking at people on Instagram who are posting pictures of like the Harvard rowing team with like pictures of their dogs superimposed over one of the rowers so they can get their dogs into Harvard.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
God, a wonderful world of Instagrams. Gizzard, what's happening, man?
Hey, not a whole lot. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. And we got Mr. Ghost. How's it going?
Yeah, Rick? Well, I stopped by Sonic today and asked them for a Code Red Mountain Dew, and they gave me this token, and I ended up here. So thanks for having me.
There you go. Yeah, you get. That's how you get on the panel here. In case anybody's wondering, you will find the tokens for that. If you purchase a Code Red Mountain Dew or Twizzlers, they're inside every package of Twizzlers. So. There you go. We're in the pocket of Big Twizzler and Big Mountain Dew. But
I thought it was Red Vine.
You can't get Red Vines around here. That's the problem. I've looked everywhere. I can't find Red Vines around here.
They don't even have them near Walmart?
I've had them before. No, No, not in the 3 or so I've been to.
Man, right here, we get the big plastic container of Red Vines like you can see on the store counter.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, I found them at my Walmart, so I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah. Before we move on, though, I will just say we are live on YouTube simulcast over on Gun Channels. We're watching the chats as best we can anyway on both sides. So if you have those nerdy questions, technical questions, things dealing with social media, stuff like that, throw them out there, and we will we'll try to address them and talk to them. Sarge is out there. I don't know why Sarge is not in here, because I do think he's on the invite list. But so I see Sarge out there on the YouTube side, and he was talking about the appeal process. So that's something I wanted to talk about, because that's what sort of sparked the topic for tonight. And he says there really isn't an appeal process with YouTube. He says he's working on month 7, that they haven't had time to review his account. So there are people that are getting reviews, but here's the thing with, if you're talking about the review process, I'm not really sure what you mean, Sarge, by the review process, because understand there's multiple review processes for multiple purposes. So I'm assuming, since we're talking sort of in the sense of the monetization issue here, you're talking monetization. And yeah, depending on the traffic and whatnot that your video is getting, that can be delayed severely. Also, depending on changes that you've made and stuff like that. So, and Sarge says he doesn't have a link. Well, that sucks. Maybe somebody here can get you a link. If not, shoot me an email. Shoot me an email anyway, Sarge, when you get a chance, so I can get you back on the list. Apparently, you did not respond when I had to redo my list, because I had sent it out to everybody and let them know that, hey, if you want to continue to be on the list, let me know, because I had to change my notification thing up. Anyway,
so should consider maybe taking up a sport or being on a team or like in a club, and then that can help with your application process, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, that's true too. Yeah. Or just buy the Code Red Mountain Dew or the Twizzlers or whatever, and you're good.
But you gotta be careful if you say you're Catholic or not, apparently.
Anyway, something.
And I hear that bribes work well on the review process for your applications too.
I don't know that you could bribe anybody from YouTube anyway. I don't think they, from some of the conversations I've seen. But with the monetization review, what I wanted to throw out there with what we're talking about here and changing titles, tags, descriptions, playing with all of that. If you find yourself with a yellow icon, the visceral reaction to that is to click the appeal and get all huffy about it. You know, oh, there's nothing wrong, and click the appeal and post stuff to social media that YouTube is screwing you over and blah, 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 blah. Take a step back. Take a breath. Okay. Don't hit that appeal, because if you hit that appeal and they do it and you lose the appeal, you're sort of screwed in that sense. If they don't approve your appeal, then it's fairly slim odds that they're going to, that it'll ever go green again for you. It'll ever go full monetization. So the reason I wanted to talk about these topics is you can change these things around. Be careful with your language. Go in, pay particular attention to specificity and relevancy and all that good stuff across your titles, tags, descriptions. Change that thumbnail. A more appealing thumbnail for the thumbnail algorithm, that sort of thing. And give it a day or two and see what happens. And I've had great success with that sort of thing in changing my videos from that have been tagged as limited or no ad over to the full monetization, the green icon again. So the things we're talking about, remember that. Don't jump the gun, don't jump the shark, whatever on that. Make sure that you play around with some things before you file that appeal. If you do that a couple of times, you let it go a couple of days, you know, 3-4 days, you've changed it a couple of times, changed things around, it still doesn't work, yeah, go in and at that point do an appeal. And the other part of that is you're putting eyes on that video and you're really looking at things, because often you can sort of go in once that's been kind of tagged, and if you kind of take a step back and you can think, okay, what would have caused this to have gotten tagged? And if you take that step back, then you go through that process of the titles and the tags and the thumbnails, and you're actually paying attention and looking at those things. Sometimes you can spot what it is. I've done that. So it went yellow. I went back and I'm like, you know what? I bet this word here is causing a problem, and change that out, remove that word, insert, you know, something else into that change things up, and you know, a day, maybe two later, bam, I'm back green. Everything's fine. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. Just wanted to mention the relation to what we're talking about. Like I said, it's interrelation at this particular point because we've discussed these topics before. It's interrelation to basically monetization at this point. So Sarge jumped in. What's up, Sarge?
Oh, not much, not much. I've thanks to the gun snob, I've got a little bit of a cold, so I hate him, but I think I can survive the show.
There you go. So let's dive into this. We've got, you know, with the panel here, most everybody here is at least should be fairly familiar with, you know, pretty decent process of what we're talking here with the thumbnails, the titles, the tags, the descriptions. So I'm just going to kind of let the panel go through this and bestow a little bit of knowledge and wisdom out there. Before I do, though, just a reminder to those watching live or those watching in replay, if you have those nerd questions, throw them out there in the chat or throw them in the comments below. We'll try to get those answered as quickly as we can. So we'll start on the other end going down through here. And on this particular topic, on Ghost, on titles, tags, descriptions, thumbnails, rules of thumb that you have, methods that you use, maybe different software plugins, that sort of thing, resources that you use. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, titles. I mean, I try to come up with titles about the subject as if I was doing a YouTube search, what would I actually search? And I try to have those words for me that I would search somewhere in that title. So where, you know, you can do that. I also use Google. You know, I'll type in, let's say, concealed carry guns or something, and we'll see what the top rated search terms are. So you kind of take that into mind as well. Thumbnails, you know, there's two different trains of thought that I've been exposed to. One is color, you know, pictures of people or whatever. So there's all sorts of different things you can do. Just be, you know, be creative. Tags and description's got to be simple. Just do you know, a quick one paragraph is really all you need. But the tags, I think, are where it really gets important. And I think that you've got to do your research on tags, and you want to try to get some big tags that have a lot of search volume that you may not rank in, but you're still, it still helps. But as far as algorithm goes, you know, they like ranked tags, and I use vidIQ and TubeBuddy and all that, but vidIQ is really good at helping out with some ranked tags or things, tags that you could rank in. And at this point, it's just an SEO and analytics game, and you're just really trying to get a good mixture of tags that you could rank in and then tags that people are searching for. So, and, you know, it's not a science, it's a game, and that's part of the game that I enjoy, is just trying to see if I can beat the system somehow.
Now, how do the when you're doing those tags, I mean, the way I kind of approach it is, you know, the tags are the they're the glue, right? They're the binding that kind of pulls the title and the description and the thumbnail mm-hmm. and all of those aspects together, as far as to be able to paint a picture about, you know, what that video is about. So in other words, if you look at that title, tag, description, and the thumbnail, you can pretty much tell, and that's kind of the point. We want videos that are enticing with the title, of course, and the thumbnail, but then with the description, when we're enticing as far as the viewer, I should say. But as far as the computers out there that are doing it, the tags and their relationship to being relevant and kind of explaining with the tags what the video is about is what kicks that algorithm off, right? And makes that algorithm understand what the viewer is seeing, basically.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, you get 500 characters in tags, so utilize it. I try to get as close to 500 every single time. Most of the time, I'm having to delete things to get to 500. But I think that a lot of problems that people might have also is they have a template, and they'll put, you know, the same five or six tags in every single video. And there's only five or six tags, but it's the same one. So you could be doing a video on a range bag, but you still got Sig Sauer, Glock, Smith & Wesson. You know, these are the tags that you're using that are not relevant at all. So utilize the full 500 characters of tags that you get. But two, try to make it relevant. Don't use the same tags every single video.
Yep. And that's something that I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, reusing stuff, having, you know, duplicates, having sort of the same stuff. That's not good. And in the sense that we're talking about with monetization, that's something that I've noticed. Because, for example, since moving the Monday podcast to Instagram and then dropping that replay usually on a Tuesday, I don't spend a lot of time because it's primarily for the Instagram people. And a few people watch it on YouTube when I drop it, but that's not evergreen content, right? Nobody's going in going to be really looking for that anyway. So I don't put a lot of thought and time into all of these aspects for that particular one. And that's one that I notice gets kind of squirrely with the monetization. And I have figured out that because I've got pretty much the same title, it's just the Monday podcast and then a number. And it's not, like I said, it's just really generic. It's not specific as to what we're talking about. It's not different. It's not very different from the last, the podcast from the week before that. It sort of looks like, to a computer anyway, it sort of looks like duplicate content. It looks like duplicate tags or duplicate titles or duplicate subscriptions. What am I thinking? Tags, titles, descriptions, not subscriptions, descriptions. I would say, especially with the content that you're releasing, if it's a live thing, like I'm talking about, and it's probably not going to have much staying power as far as being evergreen content anyway, not going to matter that bad. But especially if you're putting out reviews and things like that, try to be unique. Try to be very specific, very unique, and that's going to help with that monetization algorithm. Gizzard, I'll let you jump in. Talk a little bit about any method or any little tips you have as far as the titles, tags, descriptions, and even thumbnails.
Well, besides what's already been mentioned, I always, and I think most of us do this, have some sort of branding on your thumbnail that shows your channel. My channel logo is on every thumbnail. And along with text that is big enough and contrasting enough with the background that it can be read even as a small thumbnail. Also, you talk about tags. Don't forget that you can include tags in the description as well as in the tag field. And you can get a little bit of benefit of doing that too. I think you can include up to 3 or 4.
You've got the hashtags.
Hashtags, yes.
Right.
It's another way of doing things. And then there are certain things I always include in my description, like my patron list and stuff like that. But titles, I try to keep not too long because people aren't going to read real long titles, I don't think. It should be short and but descriptive enough to tell what the video is going to be about. And, you know, try to be unique as possible, but don't get too cute either. Other than that, I vary my thumbnails up a little bit so they don't all look the same. So I don't want somebody looking at my channel and think, well, these are all the same thing. They're all different colors. Vary up the text layout sometimes, depending on what's in the background. Sometimes there is a shot from the video. Other times it's just a plain background or a graphic. I vary things up a little bit.
Right. That's a lot of good stuff that you hit on there, Gizzard. I want to elaborate just a bit on a couple things, starting with the thumbnails. You were talking about the text. And one mistake I see people making with the text that I think might be an opportunity for them, not really in the sense of the monetization issue, which is, like I said, again, was kind of sort of the theme for tonight, but more with search and suggestion and that end of the algorithm process, is they'll take and put text. They'll put like their title or a portion of their title into the, and I think I did that for this video, into the thumbnail. And you've got an opportunity. The text in the thumbnail is more to grab attention. It's more to entice people to click that thumbnail. So, that doesn't necessarily have to be, it needs to be relevant, obviously. Otherwise, it's going to be clickbaity, just like if you had a, you know, a chick with a bikini or something like that, and you're talking about guns that had nothing to do with chicks and bikinis, that would be clickbait, right? The text can be the same way. So you want to use something that is relevant, but it's kind of catchy in the text a lot of times. So yeah, great point with that. And with the tags, you were talking about putting the hashtags in the description. Something that I would warn against, because people were gaming the system in the early days. It's actually against policy now to do this, is to just put random words in the description. When you write your description, you can have every tag that you've got in the description, just write it in a sentence form and in a paragraph and something that makes sense, and you're fine. But back in the old days, they would just go through and they would just basically copy their tags they put in and then paste those into the description. Then it would have, you know, 15, 20, 30 random words in the description. And that can actually get you a channel ban. You got to be careful with that. G-Webs, let you jump in and your thoughts and experience on these particular topics.
So let me clarify. Are we talking just on YouTube?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, yeah, the premise for tonight was more so dealing with some things I've seen people claiming, you know, foul on YouTube because of the monetization algorithm, you know, had flagged them or whatever. And I've seen problems to where potentially the monetization algorithm couldn't tell what the heck it was trying to do. And it's got, you know, I'm preaching to the choir with you, but there may be some people out there listening that don't know those algorithms. You've got to give them some kind of context for them to be able to classify and place your video in certain places, including the ad, you know, the AdSense queue and the different ad pools that are out there. So, yeah, it's more in a YouTube monetization sense. But, you know, if you want to talk about the other aspects elsewhere, that's fine, too.
Well, then I won't talk about the other ones because we could do that in another show, but I guess I'll just start off by saying there's facets, because the tag or the category or the anything you use to categorize or, you know, ID the video is going to be important and useful and, you know, a necessary step if you really want to grow or just get the most use out of your project. But that's an important step on every platform. And there's strategies to be consistent across platforms, but if we're talking specifically YouTube and then specifically monetization, that's more the, you're looking for the flow over the long-term cook, right? You're looking to, you're competing with hashtags versus people that are trending and popular and at the front end of the curve, as opposed to the long end, the what do they call it, the tail of the dragon or whatever, the dragon's tail, the specific, what you call it, evergreen tags. So if we're talking specifically monetization, I suspect we're talking more trying to keep up with, like Ghost was saying, like which ones are most, which tags are most used, and then make it, I think Ghost had a great point, make it a game, make it fun. Because if it isn't fun, if it isn't a strategy game for you, if it's not a long-term game of chess, then it's really going to be no fun. If it's an effort and a task, then pass it off to someone who would be fun, have fun with it, because they will be better at it than you will, because there is a bit of an art to it. But if you're talking to be catching the eye of the monetization algorithm, like you're saying, then I think you really need to pay attention to what the current trending tags are, and then even perhaps tweak your content a bit so that it's as appropriate as possible. But I think everything you guys said was valid as far as, you know, the importance or whatever, is that the word, of doing this. Because if you just, it doesn't matter what your stuff is, the internet isn't smart enough to know what we're saying in our videos yet. They're only smart enough to hear songs and ping us for singing songs, but they can't hear what we're saying and determine what that means. So whatever we type in there is how it gets identified. And if you're consistent with identifying all of your content, there are definitely logarithms that pay attention to that. So if you're sporadic, or if you never pay attention to accurately categorizing your stuff, they have no interest in paying attention to you. They have too many people that are paying attention. And with that said, if you're talking specifically monetization, there are people that are paying attention. So you certainly can't slack off. And if you're not paying attention to this at all, you have no real justification to be upset if you're not succeeding, because there are people that are paying attention to this, and that's who you're competing with. YouTube couldn't be more open with the rules. They're telling us basically everything except how to like literally game it. But they're giving us all the parameters. It's a, you're in competition with the other people that are in competition for those eyeballs.
Right.
Hey, Clure, I got a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
When you're talking tags, do the channel tags, not the video tags, but do, you know, every channel you can set up certain keywords or tags for your channel. Does Critical. That have anything to do with it as well?
Critical. If you're putting up stuff in your video that doesn't correspond with your channel tags, they're not going to consider what you're doing is accurate or whatever. So it's super important. And I'm just going to let me finish with my final thing is all of this stuff is a long-term game, really. Even if you're looking at the trending stuff for monetization, and I'm going to say again, that's in opposition to if you're trying to put up evergreen content that's going to be seen in the long run. If your goal is to show up in the recommended videos on a search rather than the recommended videos on a surf, when someone's just cruising the internet and they're being recommended things, that's different from when they're searching something specifically and getting recommended things. And those are two different things to focus on. But whatever it is, either side you're focusing on, or you can do both, but either side we're focusing on, over time is where you're going to see the results of this. So again, have fun with it and then start paying attention, because you don't get any instant results, really.
Right. Budget, I'll let you jump in real quick.
I use two things when I'm doing my title tags and description. I use vidIQ to, because I like to see the little ranking number that they give you, the little score. But as far as deciding what tags, title, and description go in my video and to help write it, I use Morning Fame's keyword research tools. I can't recommend that enough. It will, you type in your keyword phrase that you're trying to rank for, and it'll show you how well your video stands up against others that have a similar keyword phrase. And then as you go through the steps, it shows you how you will rank as far as relevancy goes with your title and your tags and your description and how they match up with each other. And recently they've added a tool where that will show you whether or not a particular tag is ranking in searches on Google as well. So I use that like every video, except, the live stuff, I've kind of stopped doing that because I'm taking it down afterwards. It's not, like you said, it's not really evergreen stuff. But as far as my produced content stuff, my reviews and whatnot, yeah, I use the Morning Fame keyword research tool heavily.
Yeah, and one thing about the Morning Fame thing, I'm a big fan of that, and it does cost money, unfortunately. But one of the things with that is it not only will help you determine rank within YouTube search, it will help you rank within Google search as well, kind of at the same time. It's got kind of a double check mark system, so you can look and it'll tell you, well, this one does really good for YouTube, but this one does pretty well for YouTube and Google both. Yep. And nowadays with Google, the search engine, speaking of the search engine here, becoming a little more centric to videos, that can hold some weight too. Not in the sense of monetization, of course, but in the sense of search and discovery and getting traffic through. Night Strike, I know you do have done a little bit of produced content. Most of your stuff is live, but any tips, methods, things that you've seen that work for you? Have you had any issues with monetization?
You mean like how I didn't have 1,000 subscribers and they took it away and I had to cancel my account in order to get a payout? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't do monetization. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You haven't got back to that point yet.
Okay. No, gotcha. I don't have enough subscribers.
So you would play that game at this point for channel growth then, for search and discovery and that sort of thing.
Right now, I'm just trying to put out new videos of which people will watch and actually get, then I'll actually be able to gain subscribers that way. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you're here, and I'm not glad that you're not monetized. Of course, I think that You know, I think that there's probably room for
you've seen the hit or miss videos. Quite honestly, when I was monetized, only like half of my videos were monetized. Even my produced stuff, which didn't have any bad words in them, were demonetized. So, quite honestly, at this point, I don't care if I'm monetized or not, because it's not going to make any money in the long run.
Let's back up on that just for a second. Demonetized or ad restricted?
It was both.
Okay. You actually had both on there. Okay.
I had both.
Okay. Anyway, what I was gonna say with you and your approach, and you know, you're not monetized in the sense of YouTube Partner Program. If you're out there and you have a channel similar to what NiveStar's talking about, and you haven't met that threshold, you're not monetized with a YouTube Partner, probably what I would think, even above this whole making sure that your titles, tags, descriptions, thumbnails are refined, getting the content up and on there, because that's something that for me, I mean, I've talked about it multiple times, and I'll continue to talk about it because it's so true that, you know, I got basically four lives a week stripped from me, and my evergreen sort of carried me through all of that in a way. It was kind of crazy because I was paying more attention at that point. I didn't have the lives. So analytically, I was seeing more of what my evergreen was actually doing. So that helped me to realize the power of that evergreen content. And that comes by getting those videos uploaded, you know, making that content, getting it up. So definitely, if you're not monetized, focus on getting that content up. And of course, it goes without saying that the more content you do, the better you get at doing said content. So it's good practice as well.
There's also the fact that my live streams are a little, we'll call them edgy, so they wouldn't be eligible for monetization anyways. But I had a question for you on monetization and how it's working now. When you do a live stream, can you go into the advanced settings and tick monetization off on that video, or do you have to have it on every video?
Because
I remember they used to allow you to turn monetization
off. Yeah, you can turn your monetization off. Yeah, absolutely.
So if I don't monetize the live streams and only monetize the regular videos, I might be able to do it again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. User out there dropped a $5 super chat, so thank you, sir. I'm going to be real careful with this because this is one video being the nerd chat and the implications of helping people. I don't want it to be stifled by talking about something potentially that could stifle it, so I'm going to try to handle this. Kind of reworded a little bit, but yeah, there was apparently some bad stuff happened in New Zealand at some mosques there. He says brace for gun control push. I'm not real sure. Apparently from listening to, who is it, Vandaliska and I think maybe Sloth, sound like New Zealand has some fairly decent freedoms when it comes to stuff like that. So hopefully it doesn't affect them too much. But one thing I will mention is also there was a similar incident with a school in Brazil. And I don't know if that was today or yesterday or when that happened too. So there's some stuff happening around the world. You know, I think it's outlier events, the same as that same kind of stuff that happens here. But just a public service announcement, I guess, there. So thanks for that, user. Rich, I'll jump over to you. Get in here, man. Get in here with the title tags, description, and all this stuff, and learn us something, man.
Well, I'm pretty much in the same position NiveStar is. I don't have enough subscribers to get monetization yet, and most of my stuff is live content. What I'll do is I'll wait till my show's over, and if I remember to do it, because I also go on the closer right after, if I remember to go back and do it, that's when I'll pick the title. I'll look at what thumbnails were captured by YouTube's recording software.
Nice.
And then I'll pick like one of the guest logos that were on the show and use that for the thumbnail. And then I'll also base the tags off of what we may have talked about. Usually it's when we talk about something important. If we're just talking a bunch of nonsense on the show, I generally won't do it. But if it's something important we were talking about, like if we were talking about a particular firearm or whatnot, I will go back and I will tag that and you know, put that in the tags and in the description and whatnot. That's usually how I'll go about doing it for the live shows. And then, like I said, I only got like two or three produced content videos, and I've titled those, obviously, and done tags and stuff for those.
And that's absolutely a valid approach. I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, until you get some size and you get some view velocity and stuff like that, it's really hard to bring in new people. In other words, get featured on somebody's launch page or something like that with a live stream. So, yeah, if you know you go into a live stream and it goes off the rails or it goes off into an interesting rabbit hole or something like that, yeah, don't be afraid to change that title. Take advantage of that rabbit hole that was created. If it's something that's a trending topic, or if it's something that, you know, news of the day or that sort of thing. That's a very valid point. Sarge, I'll let you jump in here and talk a little bit about titles, tags, descriptions, thumbnails, but I'm curious, out there in the chat, when you were talking about appeal, what process of appeal were you talking about? The monetization appeal or some other type of appeal?
Or the lack thereof as far as monetization. I hit my numbers on, I was monetized before they came up with the rules, and I hit it on August 23rd of 2018. Hit the 1,000 subs. I'd hit the watch time way before that. Now I've got 1700 plus subs. I have tripled the amount of watch time that's required. And what they've done with me is they've just put me in this endless loop of, if you can ever get a hold of them, which I finally figured out how to, for a little while, I was able to get a hold of someone through Twitter. They say, you know, just keep putting up good content. We'll get to your video soon. We're behind, but we'll get to your channel soon to review it. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I have no strikes. I meet all the community standards. I'm well over all their guidelines, but they're just not taking the time to review it. And I can understand a month or two on a very, very big platform such as YouTube. I can't understand 7 months with no end in sight. I mean, is it going to be a calendar year? Are they just purposely not doing it? Are they not staffed enough to be able to do it? Are they just incompetent that, well, next year on this day, maybe we'll get to you. A year. That's a long time. And now they've got to where they won't even respond if I do tweet them. There's no real way to email them. There's definitely not a phone number. So it's really just the principle of it. I want to be monetized for the principle. Since I hit all the marks, I try to keep it good, clean, and wholesome. I try not to get too crazy. Okay. And
so you're talking about channel monetization. You're not talking about the videos. We're talking about videos here, but you're talking about
channel. Well, you have to have one before the other.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what you're talking about. So you hit and you reapplied.
Yeah, it does it for you instantly when you do it. It shows up.
Okay.
That it reapplies. Okay. And I've been stuck in this little holding pattern for 7 months now.
Okay, let me look into the things. That's not normal. That's not happening to everybody. So
exactly.
Let me try to help you. Thank you for bringing that up. And I can't promise anything, but let me talk to some people and figure out if there's some type of recourse, because I can tell you that's not normal. I do know people that have waited, you know, 6-8 weeks or something like that. You know, a couple of months, maybe even 3 months, but you know, that long, no. That should not be an issue. So we will.
Well, I would definitely appreciate that.
Let me see if what I might can look into with that. On titles, tags, descriptions, stuff like that. Have you got anything to add?
I use TubeBuddy. I got the lowest level paid version. It's like 30 or 40 bucks a year, and really the only thing I use it for is the tags, because it helps me out tremendously. It does a lot of the work for me. Like, I can type things in and it'll suggest other ones that go along with it. I'll select those, and then when you sort through them, it'll show if they rank or not. And then I'll clear some off, and it'll maybe give me an idea for some other ones. But yes, I do exactly what you're saying. I try to make them video specific. If it's a video about Smith & Wesson revolvers, it would have no reason to have any Glock tags or anything like that, because that's not right. I try to make them all video specific, and I do spend a lot of time on tags going back with that TubeBuddy app. Mm-hmm. So I do spend some time there. My thumbnails, sometimes I work on them for a while, sometimes I don't. I probably need to spend more time on my thumbnails.
Yeah. Well, thumbnails are a big deal, and getting that game down. I haven't got it down yet. I know some people that have. And I say I haven't got it down yet. I don't know if anybody's aware. The new YouTube Studio beta, for the most part, sucks. But there are a few things in there. The audience building funnel that's in there. And, you know, I don't have screen share set up. I wasn't planning on talking YouTube Studio beta tonight. But subject for another time, maybe we can talk about that. But they do have a cool feature. And basically it shows how many impressions, that's how many times your videos was put before viewers. And then that funnels down to how many people clicked, how many people that clicked viewed, and then how much watch time was accumulated for that. So it's a pretty cool little metric you can look at in there. And standard thinking seems to be that if you're it's what they call the click-through rate, and that's dependent upon your thumbnail. That thumbnail, the title to an extent, but mostly people click because of they get a glimpse of the title, and it's a lot of times it's a thumbnail that hooks them in. And so, you know, to get an idea if that thumbnail game is working for you, one thing that I would look at would be to take a look at that. I forgot what they actually call it, but it's something like an audience funnel or something like that, or an impression funnel or something is what they call it. But it's in your analytics in YouTube Studio beta. And I think it's on the little tab that says something about build an audience.
It's under reach viewers.
There you go. Similar wording, but not the same thing. Thanks. Appreciate that. Under reach viewers. But if you're 5% or better, typically on your click-through rate, then you're probably doing pretty good with your thumbnails. So, take a look at that. Don't overthink it too much. If you're 5% or above,
5% or better, do you mean above or below?
5%. If you're 5% or better.
Okay.
On that. So, you know, if you go in there and you look and it's 5.7%, you're good. If it's 8%,
7% would be pretty good.
Oh yeah. 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 Anything above 5 is considered you've got a pretty good click through rate, and click through rate means people are clicking that video. And if people are clicking that video, then odds are the thumbnail is enticing enough for them to click it. So again, don't think too hard on stuff. We can overthink things and analyze them to death too. And sometimes that's worse than not knowing anything at all in some situations. Snob, I'll let you jump in with, titles, tags, descriptions, so forth, so on.
Well, I too am in Sarge's boat and got an evil email back from them telling me it's going to be longer for them to look into my channel before they'll approve it. But so I don't really worry about the monetization yet. I haven't really ever thought about that because I haven't been there. But I just try to focus all mine toward, getting search engine optimization stuff. And I too use TubeBuddy just for the tags. And I a lot of times try to research my titles before I even shoot my video, you know, kind of just what I'm thinking I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And try to do some Googling and some YouTube and stuff, just titles, just to see kind of maybe I can change the video just a little to get a better chance of search.
Right. Right. And, you know, a lot of, there's a lot of successful channels that do that. There's a lot of, and I'm not talking in the firearm niche, I'm talking about other niches that they research, they look into their metadata, which that's what we're talking about here, the titles, descriptions, tags, all that kind of stuff. They look into that and even the thumbnail before they ever even do the video, which is, it's weird. That's backwards thinking for me. And so that's hard for me to, I can't get on board with that. I'm not saying that tactic doesn't work. That's not a better way to do it. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying
I
can't grasp that concept.
I do it. Morning Fame lets you store a bunch of them. So I have a bunch of videos already titled and descripted and tagged and all that ready to go. I got to shoot them.
Right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all. Now Gunpowder Beauty out there looks like has a question. says, with thumbnail, should the pick stay in the same with lives, reviews, and whatnots, or should it change with different types of shows? I'll run this through with everybody, but I'll give my thoughts on it right quick, and then G-Webs, I think, has got a question too. Your thumbnails need to be different. And it can be, they can have a similar theme. I don't think they've necessarily got to have a different theme to them, or a different design outline, I guess would be the word, or something like that to them. Depending on if it's live or whatever. I thought at one time it helped. Turns out, not so much. I was using like different colored borders for the different live shows and all this other stuff. And I really, I honestly didn't see a difference, as opposed with going with that. Now, what I do is I actually have three different templates that I've created for thumbnails. And I've got my two logos, and they'll either appear on the left side, the right side, or the left side, top side, or the right side of the thumbnail. And so I will alternate those around. And then, of course, I have different pictures in the background, different selfie pics I use. I use different colors for the words and all of that kind of stuff. So they're all sort of similar, but there's a variety there. They look a little different. And we'll run this backwards to the room. Snob, do you tend to stay with a similar theme for live versus produced, or you have something totally different?
I'll be honest, on live, I usually don't even care. Because I don't look at it as fact of trying to, I just look at live shows as more fun. I don't look at it as fact of trying to gain anything or anything like that. So, but my video thumbnails, I don't know. I've been playing back and forth with it, looking at the impressions for the past few months, just seeing what works best. So far, it's like bright colors for me. And, the text and stuff and bright colors in little boxes seem to have better click-through rates. But I change them on every one.
Okay. That's what I figured. I mean, if you've got a live that, like Rich was talking about, if you've got a live and there's some relevant content, conversation for the day, like a trend or, something even that may have some, maybe you talk reloading and you get real nerdy with it, no pun intended here, or something like that, it can have some value later on as evergreen content, then there may be more merit to it, but typically speaking, live has a life cycle. These particular shows have some staying power, but typically, they're kind of a one and done type deal. Sarge, your thumbnails, do you break up your live? Is it a different thumbnail design than your produced?
Yeah, if I produce a video, I tend to try to pull a good thumbnail out of it and add some real flashy lettering to it. I'm thinking about not because a lot of times the scenes are so hard to see, so there's no real point in doing that. I was thinking about maybe switching that up and taking a good still picture of like whatever I'm reviewing and then putting the titles over it, because that might show up a little bit better, especially if people are looking at mobile. So I'm getting ready to switch over and put a little bit more emphasis on that, because right now I just try to pull a good scene out of the video and then work with it. But I think the other idea might be better for me.
So you're actually pulling a screenshot. That's another thing I should have asked him.
Yeah.
Are they using screenshots or do you actually shoot, take a picture, make a thumbnail? Because consensus on that, and again, this is across all niches, seems to be that a dedicated, set up, take an actual picture for your thumbnail, or use an actual picture. I mean, if you're doing a review, sometimes, you have access to that manufacturer's press kit or something like that. Of course, you can use one of those and you don't have to take a picture, but that seems to be a little more enticing, I think, seems to be the consensus from most people. Rich, produce versus live, are you using same similar setup, or they different? Do they contrast?
Yeah, okay. But like we were saying before in the prior question with the live streams, I just use or try to use one of the logos from one of the guests that was on the show.
Right.
Try and get them some exposure using them as the thumbnail. Mm-hmm. And then for produced content, I'll take a scene from the video and use that.
Okay, gotcha. Now you're live. It's the same, basically it's the same except for that logo.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're consistent. Gotcha. Patriot has jumped in with us. How are you, buddy?
I am late as usual. Okay. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Do you got questions or anything, or you just want to jump into the flames here?
I am full of questions. I couldn't tell you what kind of thumbnail I use on any of my videos.
Right.
I didn't even know they had thumbnails. I mean, I hear you guys talk about them, so I won't slow your chat down because
I want to slow it down for a second with you because I don't know the answer to this. So when you're scrolling through, okay, being visually impaired, and you're because I gotta throw that out there for people so they understand what we're discussing here. But anyway, as you're scrolling through, you're surfing, let's say YouTube. I don't want to use the word, what does it look like, but what type of information are you pulling? Do the thumbnails at all give you any information with the software or browser that you use?
Now, I normally go through mobile just because it's faster. I don't like taking the time because with desktop, there's a lot of ads and it's just cumbersome and slow.
Right.
I like to speed it up. So I go through mobile and basically all that it shows me, when I scroll through, it'll give me possibly the date, duration, title of whatever the video is, whoever posted it. I think that the time and date is last. And depending on where I'm at, sometimes it'll throw that, like the duration of the video prior. So it's kind of cumbersome, but it reads through real quick. You can pick out normally, you know, if I'm in my inbox or whatever, that portion will tell me, you know, the video name first and then whoever did it, you know, with a, you know, a comma and then,
I got you.
Know, so it just basically reads through whatever text is there. I can't imagine it telling anything that's on like a screenshot or anything. So right. It's basically your title. And, you know, so when I focus on a video, I can, you know, expand the description and stuff like that. But even that is kind of cumbersome on the mobile because it's more of one field. There's a bunch of lines in it and I can scroll line to line, but if I'm not careful, I'll jump out of that text field. But I know like on the desktop or whatever, when I go through, I can actually scroll line by line and copy and, you know, just like gotcha. It's any other kind of text field. So,
okay. I wasn't sure if there was a, you know, with images, obviously on a website, you have those alt tags for people that might be visually impaired or whatever. And I didn't know if they threw that, there was something. I knew we couldn't put those in as a creator, but I didn't know if YouTube put something in there in its place. So that's what I was curious about.
No. And if I'm going through like with the YT studio, that's how you can, you know, some kind of edit. YouTube's done a big change where visually impaired people cannot comment any longer as of two updates ago. So if you noticed, I haven't been commenting on anybody's video. Blind Shooter and I kind of discussed it. Basically, I can say I want to type text. I type it out, but then there's no post button. It's just, it just vanishes. Wow. So if you've seen that, I haven't been posting, you know, comments. That's it.
Why would that be?
Yeah, that seems like a bug or something.
That makes no sense.
All those things I posted about Patriot, I'm going to take back most of them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We were wondering what happened.
So I can go through the YT studio and comment on my videos. But if I watch your video, I can't leave a comment now.
Okay.
It's just one of them things that I got to wait until they catch up and fix it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll add that to my list here.
Is that on mobile or on PC as well?
On mobile. Now, on mobile, you can't. The only reason, like my last video I put out, I was able to put a comment and pin it because I did it on the desktop. So desktop is the same. It's just an edit field, and you hop to it, and it's no big deal. But on the mobile, if I click on, you know, comment, I can type it out. I can read the comment, but you can't go above the comment where the post button or any of that stuff is. So it's, yeah, it's a pain. It's only happened for the last week or so.
Right.
Since like two updates.
Snob, bring you back in real quick. You had a question, and I had a question for you because you were talking about, when did you apply for your monetization?
It automatically applied whenever I hit 1,000, which it's only been, well, I'm at 1,100 and something now. It's only been like a week.
Oh, okay. Okay. So but, if you get 2 or 3 months out, let me know.
Yeah. No, I just got an email from him that says, you know, your channel is being held for further review to make sure it meets our policies.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a whole week. I really feel bad for you.
No, I'm not. I wasn't griping. I was just saying.
Hang out with Sarge.
Listen, Adam.
So you're probably losing your chance of getting noticed.
There you go. Yeah.
I think that's a problem.
They're going to look at your cohorts there. You got to watch it. You got to be careful hanging out with them law enforcement officers. So they'll get you in trouble. Nice strike. Let you jump in here. We'll continue on. Live thumbnails versus your produced. Similar, same, different?
I don't really change them up too much. The live usually is just the hit or miss logo, and then, you know, the produced stuff is an actual produced thumbnail I create.
Okay.
Mostly just because, you know, everybody knows it's hit or miss Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. But again, you know, I just like having the hit or miss be the thumbnail instead of anything else, because that way it's aptly named.
Gotcha.
You know, for live.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. Budget, what about you?
I use the same template for everything. I have, you know, my frame with my logo in the bottom left corner, my mug up in the top right, and then whatever I'm using as the image in the middle with the, whatever the appropriate text would be. Sometimes I pull a still from the video. Sometimes when I remember to, really is what it comes down to. When I remember to do it, I'll take a bunch of pictures specifically for the thumbnail and then kind of pick one out and edit it.
Yep. When you remember, I completely get you.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, I think that's why a lot of the people I was talking about, why they do all of that like first thing is that way they don't forget about it. Cause I can't tell you the number of times, you know, I go out on the range, I do all my stuff, blah, 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 blah. And I put everything up, everything's put up. And then I remember, crap, I didn't take a thumbnail picture, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I try to do is do it before I ever even start.
Right. G-Web, as far as the flow of your live thumbnails versus your produced thumbnails, you got a method for that? Same, different? You change them up?
Yeah, it's critical, right? Because you've already talked about that. Number one, taking pictures is critical also. If you're just winging it, then you're not really playing the game, right? If you're trying to grow and you're trying to monetize, create better content each time, then again, you got people competing and you've got to up your game. So, you know, challenge yourselves, but take pictures before and after. If you're filming ammo, you want to have that before shot, right? Where the gun's all clean and you got the box of ammo and the full rack of stuff. And then you want a picture sometime in between. It throttles you as you're filming. So remember to stop and take pictures throughout. That gives you a place to stop in your video and pause and do a little narration, some B-roll if you want. Pan the table, right? So you've got some B-roll right away. As you're shooting, it helps give people an experience of what you're doing so it doesn't just seem like, boom, boom, I'm done. And then that's the opportunity for all those thumbnails.
Right.
And thumbnails are critical for, you know, like you say, getting eyeballs on it. I won't get into all that, but I don't agree with budget. I don't want all my thumbnails to be the same. But there, I understand consistency. So, and then there's also, again, you're talking long-term game. What do you want your channel to look like? When somebody goes through your videos, do you want it to just be random vomit? Or do you want it to look consistent? Or do you want it to be like soldiers? So budgets is going to end up looking like soldiers. Some people's is just going to look like who knows what if they just pick, you know, they go with whatever YouTube picks. And then you've got playlists, right? So you can do like series that have similar thumbnails. You can do playlists that have serial similar thumbnails. So it's what you want your finished product to look like. So yeah, you can, I think putting effort into your thumbnails and doing multiple strategies is valid. And then, I mean, name something that except for maybe some of the most traditional stuff, do we not never want to see change. So even if you do pick something, know that you're going to change it after a while to keep it fresh and to just have fun with it and to let it evolve, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying not to jump in. I don't want
to rush me. Okay, now I'm done.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the B-roll and sort of, you know, the production aspect of a video. That's a good topic that we can maybe cover another Thursday night. I think there's quite a few people out there that don't understand all the different aspects you can do with a video, all the different techniques you can use. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, G. We'll add that to the list as well. Gizzard, let you jump in on differences between your live and produced thumbs.
Well, most of my live stuff, well, most of them obviously are the foul territories that I do, and I have the same basic green baseball diamond layout, mainly because I spent a whole day drawing that baseball field, and I want to get some mileage out of it. It is a little different on my live stuff because I use an alternate logo, sometimes by itself or sometimes with my main logo, and that is that caricature from Tulsa from last year that G-Webs drew, and I put a microphone in front of that guy. And so for my live streams, it's kind of like, you know, here's Gizzard in front of a microphone talking to people. That's what it looks like. It's kind of a this is a live chat type thing right there. So I think that device works for me. All my thumbnails have the basic, if you've ever noticed, looked at them, they've got the outline of the state of Kansas real faint, kind of inside the borders. And I use the same font on all of them, pretty much by and large. But that's it. One thing I did want to mention is a little off topic, but if you find something that works good on a thumbnail, don't be afraid to go back and change a thumbnail on an existing video. I've done it many times.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I think we talked about that. Several of us did. Ghost, I'll let you jump in with thumbnails, you know, the type of themes you use.
Every thumbnail for me is different. I do a different, you know, the only thing that's consistent with every single one, whether it's live or not, and it's just a branding thing, but it's just consistent. I put my logo on the top left of every single thumbnail I'll ever do. And that's just, it's a branding thing. I want it to people to feel comfortable and just know, hey, I see that logo. I know it's his, you know, but as far as thumbnails live and all that, I try to make it obviously topic specific, whether it's live or produced. I'll try different things with, you know, taking a still shot, taking a shot from the video, doing you know, random pictures that don't have me or the product in it, whatever it is. I tell you that a lot of times I do, and it sounds bad, but I mean, I watch a lot of different videos and a lot of different genres and niches on YouTube, not just firearms. Firearms is probably one of the least niches that I actually do watch on YouTube. But I see videos and I see thumbnails on other videos that I think is a pretty cool concept. Even if it's a music video or a self-help or an entrepreneurial stuff that I watch, a lot of business stuff, I see a thumbnail that I like. I'll take that style of thumbnail and try to make it something that I could use on mine. But I mean, I see all sorts of people have great ideas on thumbnails, so I'll steal ideas all the time. And I try all sorts of different things. And if I find that one that doesn't work, then I won't try it again. But I try stuff all the time. And if you're not trying to do stuff all the time and try to get creative, as I think that's what it is the creative side of it. I'm not an artistic person, but I really enjoy Photoshop. And I can be artistic on Photoshop because I can't draw. So I enjoy that side of things.
Yeah, I hear you. So with that, I think... yeah, let's start shutting this thing down. What do you think?
Can I ask one really quick question?
Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Okay, my quick question was, and Gary kind of touched on it, was about changing an older thumbnail, because my one video that does really good, mm-hmm. I mean, it's got 65,000 views, but the click-through rate on it's like 3.5%, 3.6%.
change it.
Is that going to hurt anything? Because it's still getting a lot of traction. I don't want to hurt the traction it gets. Nope. But
I've changed stuff that is on my channel for, and we're talking about changing all kinds of things, right? We're talking about title, tag, description, thumbnails. I mean, you don't necessarily have to change any one or all of them, whatever you want. But I've changed stuff like thumbnails because I would be, whether I'm linking those to my website or I'm linking them in the newsletter, or, you know, maybe I'm sending those videos out to a, out to a manufacturer, you know, or somebody I'm looking for sponsorship or partnership or something like that. And I want it to look more professional than it did 3 years ago. Right.
Well, that's kind of where I was at. You know, I did this one.
And so I go in and I'll redo the thumbnail, or I may redo the title or description or tags or whatever. I play with that on videos that are, because they're evergreen, the content's still relevant. So why not switch that up and see what happens? And sometimes you can breathe new life into an old video that way. Go ahead, G.
So I've had videos, well, when I had my videos up, right, some videos are really old, and to play around, one of the nice things about having an inventory is you can play with them. So definitely playing with thumbnails. When you do something like what you guys that have, like I would call them boilerplate, when you got it like half set up and you just got to add the description or, you know, the text or whatever to specific, like that's real easy to go back and make a whole playlist consistent or something, right? So that can make it easy for people to find it if they're just scrolling around through your library, but also when they see it out there, you know, it's that, like, I think what you guys are trying to do with your branding, right? They see it and they recognize it. But I think, like, I've had a few videos that were, I'm thinking, like, you know, connected to a forum or connected to some other video, or like something about them was doing something. They had their own little motor and they were just consistently producing views. So what I would do, just to play around, is put different kind of thumbnails up. This is back in the day before there was like kind of cheat sheets and people had already kind of figured this stuff all out. But what you can do is you need to kind of get the feel of it. Like I still think what Ghost said was spot on earlier, that it's an art. I mean, you can know cerebrally like what to do to play a trumpet, but you only play a trumpet good by playing a trumpet all the time. So when you're playing with these tags all the time, going in and changing something, I'm just going to say blue to red or like white to yellow, you know, going in and doing changes, changing faces to text, you know, some kind of a change on a video that's constantly producing. And now you see a decline. Now you know, hey, that's something. And then you go flip it to something else and you see it come back or you see it go increase. You can kind of use your own stuff as your own market research. Is that the way to say it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just because something's skyrocketing, if you've got a viral video, I'm glad that like Snob is sharing his experience. I don't have any right now, but I'd be sharing them because you can, if a video is viral, it's like a kite that catches the wind. And you still got string on the spool, you're not going to pull it back in, right? You're going to see how far that kite can go. So definitely tweak with it if it's viral. That's a fish on the line. Have some fun. Learn some stuff about viral videos.
Yeah, I just didn't want to lose my traction that I had on it, you know.
No, the worst that happens is a viral video. But, you know, the best that happens is it just becomes, like, it just is starting to be viral, you know, viral. Like, you know, something yeah. really happened.
You would run more of a risk of potentially hurting yourself by changing any of the metadata stuff. But
yeah.
the thumbnail is going to be very low risk. It's going to be low risk, you know, higher reward, I think, on that. You're going to have to monitor it. So change it, watch it for like a week. You know, look at your view rate now on that. Impression is what you want. So, you know, check the impressions on it. And then write that down, you know, monitor those for a week or whatever, write that down, change it, monitor those for a week or so, see what happens. If it's more, you know, leave it. If it's less for whatever reason, then, you know, you can run it another week and, you know, law of averages and see if it just takes a while to catch, or you can switch it back. You know, it's really simple to do. So why not?
Yeah. I will try it and I will report back next Thursday.
Most of the time. Tomorrow. These things aren't getting big views because somebody's watching it every day and they tell their friend and they're both watching it every day. It's because new people are hitting it all the time. So whenever you change, there's no memory. So if you change something and it's like, ooh, that was definitely bad, you can put it right back like Clover saying to whatever was working. More than likely, it's just going to go right back to where it was because it's, again, it's not people that are like, oh, now I can't find that video because the thumbnail is different. They're not looking for your video again, probably.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Clone, can I bring up one thing that I thought of?
No, go ahead. I was fixing to say, if anybody's got questions or final comments, we can go ahead and get them in. Go ahead.
There is a strategy that I actually use for tags also. And is if I'm going to do a video, and I know the video is already shot, and I'm uploading it, and it takes half an hour to upload my video or whatever. I'm working on the data stuff. I'll also go back and I'll do a YouTube search for what my video is about and see what other videos are out there. And I'll see views that might have 200,000 views on that same topic, maybe from 3 years ago or something. And I'll go in and look at their tags, and I'll find out which tags of theirs are ranking. And that's a good idea. If you go into other people's videos that have been successful in the same kind of topic, and you see what tags are successful for them, they might be tags that you haven't used or thought about. So it's okay to go and see what other people are tagging their videos to see which ones are successful or not as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yep. And, you know, just like I do this, you know, Instagram is not the – obviously the topic of the day or anything like that, but we deal with tags there too. And one thing, Morning Fame, as Budget pointed out, allows you to kind of keep a list of stuff like that going. But you know, one thing I have is I've got I keep everything sort of in alphabetical order, but, I've got a little, notepad. It's not a spreadsheet or anything fancy like that, but I do got a notepad that I keep, you know, certain tags in, you know, I put those over there and I'm like, hey, I know this is a pretty good tag to use on specific videos. Kind of the same way I know, you know, I keep that list for Instagram. I say, hey, these are pretty good tags for these particular types of pictures. So, any other questions, comments, final thoughts before we move on? Speak now or forever, hold your peace. All right, cool. We're going to close up shop, get out of here.
Hold on. I didn't know you were going to.
Oh, there. Okay. Well, there you go.
Your videos are archives, are a commodity, and they're a resource, right? They're part of our collection of stuff. They're our content. So when you've got videos, it doesn't matter how many videos you got or how well they're doing, go to your video list, hit by or sort by most viewed or whatever. And those videos that you have that are performing are voices. So if you've got something that's important, if you've got a new show, the descriptions in those are your presence on the internet and you have total control over them. So we've been talking about editing them to tweak tags, but remember they're also your own billboards. And if you've created video, you've created content of any type, I guess it could be an Instagram post, it could be a blog or whatever it happens to be. You've got a description there that you have access to edit. So when there's something important to get the word out on, or again, something that you want to get people to sign up for your newsletter or your news shirts at the store, edit the description and let people know there. Or yep. If it's like a Second Amendment thing, like Trump's trying to, you know, do a, or the ATF is doing a opinion thing on the next, you know, infringement. You know, that's the way that we can keep channels open.
Right. Yep. Agreed. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead.
I'd just like to mention I know we're talking about YouTube, but on GunStreamer, that section that says you can add a section above or below all your descriptions on all your videos, that was something I found kind of useful. I haven't used it yet, but you know, if you have something that's going on,
it still needs some tweaking to where they can, where you could do links and stuff there.
Okay. But, so it's just basically information that you can throw out.
Yeah. It's the best that we've played with it so far. You can just get text in there. So it'd be really helpful if you could do your links to your store or your website or whatever in there. Would be nice. But you know, they're improving, so I'm sure they'll get there.
But that's a good point. That distributes it through every single thing that you have on GunStreamer. Mm-hmm. It'll show up in front of the thing.
Right.
Yep. I wish somebody from GunTube was here.
Well, YouTube has that too, by the way. Don't forget, you can go into your channel settings and use your default description, and you can set all that up in your default description under YouTube. You can put your whatever, your website, your credits, your all your different things you need to in there, and then they'll show up in every video. And all you got to do is add the specific video description to it. It'll already populate that with whatever you have set up as your default. So,
yeah, the boilerplate, and that's a great place to put your Patreon stuff. You only have to change that once a month, and then it's in all your videos.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as you use desktop, because it doesn't work on mobile.
Oh, that may be.
It is.
Yeah. All right. So, we got anything else? Anybody got anything else? I stepped on G there last time, so I'll give it a couple of minutes.
No, that's all I want to throw in there. That the way we reasonably create all this stuff, the reason we want it to perform is so that when it's necessary, we can use it, right? So, I just want to throw that out there that we can use it for that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, Scott P. come in. Yeah, that was put out in the chat, but I did not mention it much here. I don't want this is a nerd chat. I want to keep it that way because of the evergreen stuff. I mean, I realize that we're all gun channels, that you guys out there are all, gun owners and that sort of stuff, but that's not necessarily who may be watching this later on. I want this to be out there to help everybody, so I don't want to run the risk of screwing it up with too much political speak and topic, events of the day and things like that. But yeah, thanks to user for informing us of that.
A topic, I guess, now that I thought about it. It's a politically hot topic of the day. One of these CloverTech range rifles coming out. Are they going to be on the store?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't got word yet. But the first one came out of the mold a couple of weeks ago or so now. So I expect any day to get a notice that they're shipping. Of course, they've got to ship from who knows where. You probably know that better than I do because they're not made here in the United States.
Okay, right on. I just wanted an update because I wasn't sure. I know that it has been a couple days since we saw the picture.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. So that we'll close it up. Let's run this through the room real quick. I'll start in the middle and we'll work our way out since we went from end to end already. We'll kick it off with Patriot, man. What do you got? Anything you want to talk about or plug before we leave?
Yes. Saturday is the end of the EDC challenge. If you want to get involved in that, just go to my page and check that out. Also today I dropped the, Defend Liberty project, which is calling out, to look in your local areas, find out the bills, the initiatives, any of the things that are being pushed in the government, learn the stuff, understand it, find all the links for it. You can check out my last video. It talks about what to do, but basically make a video, each of you, and then turn around and talk to a real person, and pass on the links and that kind of stuff. And anybody that doesn't do videos, just share it. Get it out there as much as possible, because that's what we need now is awareness. And that's what we're lacking, is awareness and actual knowledge instead of just randomness. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you on. Rich, you're up. What do you got happening?
Let's see. Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern over on the Unloaded Media channel, we will have This Week Unloaded. Some of the guys that are on this panel show up over there, so check it out. Sunday nights, 8 Eastern.
Thanks, Rich. Mr. Sarge, what about you?
I've got to finish editing a video. I have one coming out Saturday, and then I've got my weekly live stream at 11 p.m. East on Saturday night. I appreciate the invite. I've got a little bit of work to do. I appreciate you going to look into why I'm in this little monetization kind of tailspin. I appreciate you volunteering to look into that, and I appreciate the invite. So if anybody isn't subscribed, check out my latest videos, and give me a sub if you like what you see.
A bit. Snob, you're up.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed the topic. Enjoyed the show. I should have a video dropping tomorrow and a live show Saturday night. 8 o'clock this time, the real time, the central time.
Awesome. Thanks for jumping in. Nice try.
I guess just check out guntube.org, a new and upcoming platform for firearms related videos. So check that out. And thanks for the invite.
You bet. Budget, go time.
As always, thanks for the invite. Love this show. Glad to see that it's back. Normally, here's where I would say you can catch me Friday nights at 7 p.m. on my YouTube channel, Budget Guns and Gear Reviews, for The Right of the People, where we use the first to defend the second. However, tomorrow I will not be broadcasting that show. I will be out in the woods doing some camping and shooting some video on that type of topic. I haven't done anything on bushcraft or camping in a while, so I'm going to get back into that for at least this weekend. Maybe if I have some signal, I'll do some sort of impromptu live stream tomorrow, but as far as The Right of the People, it'll be a no-go.
Gotcha. And yeah, nothing wrong with taking time off every now and then. That's what it's about. So be safe and have fun out there. G-Webs.
I just wanted to I'll say thanks for the show. I like this show. And I want to back up what Patriot's doing, have Patriot on the big channel to talk about that and scold you for not putting everysecondmatters.com on there, because that's what we built that platform to facilitate. But the concept of every individual, it's a challenge, from what I understand, it's a challenge for any individual who wants to take it upon themselves to learn the laws that are affecting them locally and then what they are and to somehow present them. And then to work their way up from local to state to regional to federal, or however many levels they want to focus on. And then to present that, to learn it, present it, share it. And then the additional challenge is to then take that information somehow, again, present it in real life to some people as a way to get the word out there and to get some experience, right? And I think you also put a caveat on there to focus on the infringements on liberty, as opposed to any property or subset or interest group or crime or violence or any of that crap, because it's more than just an attack on guns here. This is about being vigilant against the defense of liberty, right? I think that's an awesome project. Like I say, I'm hoping we can incorporate that into the Every Second Matter. So that's what it's all about. We have a section in there for each state. But then the accumulated projects become not only available for people to experience, and because there's so many of them, ideally there's all different ways of communicating and getting the message across, so you're going to reach that much more people. But hopefully the grassroots swell of people doing that will encourage others to do it, and then we'll see a more educated and a more aware populace. I think that's freaking super valid, and I think this is the perfect time to do it. Get people motivated months ahead of the year when they're going to have all the hype of the election coming up. Perfect. I think that's an awesome project, Patriot. Thanks for doing it. Like I say, hopefully you'll come on the big channel and we'll do like an hour on, you know, focusing on it, encouraging people to participate.
Good stuff. Gizzard, what you got?
Well, thanks for the show. As always, I learned something. Everything I know about what I do on YouTube, I've learned from you and from the other creators. And I try to take the best of what I see and try to duplicate it. I may not be a huge channel yet, but someday I will be. Anyway, GizzardGary.com is my website. Foul Territory tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And the Sunday morning early bird chat that I've been doing the past couple of weeks may or may not take place on Sunday morning. It all depends on how my weekend schedule pans out, and it's not firmed up yet. So we're going to pop in sometime and do a long format live stream, or just kind of a lobby type thing, because I enjoy doing that too. It's a great chance for people to just come in and talk. So thanks for the invite.
You bet. Glad to have you. Ghost, bring it home.
Get out there and shoot. Be more proficient with your firearm. Take someone with you. Turn the camera on. Be part of the solution. I want to say thank you to G-Webs and to everybody that funded the 2A Patch Bash 2019. 127% funded. Almost $13,000 was raised. That's an amazing thing in 17 days. So thank you, everybody who's involved in that. Go check out the 2A Fund. Go check out a lot of these. Go check out Pew Pew Jew. All these guys, it's amazing, the people that are in our community. There's some fascinating people in our community that need to be heard. And if you're interested in getting a little angry with me and hearing a really cool, interesting story, go check out the latest Armed Citizen podcast over on all of the few podcast hosting places. It's a really cool story from a guy named Dave up in Washington State that had to take guns from his father and how it went legally and all that. It's a great, great story. So thanks for having me.
You bet. And I can second that. I listened to that today. I mean, it'll really make you, it should anyway, make you think and sort of question a lot of the rhetoric and stuff particular that we hear involving red flag laws and stuff like that, because a lot of people are on the outside looking in. So to hear what he went through and all of that, it was interesting. It was, parts of it were funny when it probably shouldn't have been, but it was sad at the same time, but definitely a great podcast. Couldn't recommend it more. With that, clovertac.com, if you want to follow anything we're doing here. If you're listening in replay, of course, on whatever platform that you're listening to this on, if you've got questions, by all means, throw them in the comment. Contact us live at clovertac.com or hit up anybody on the panel here that we've mentioned. If you need help with creating stuff, advice, tips, just somebody to look over your stuff, give you ideas. That's what we're here for. We're all here to help each other. As far as content coming out, fairly big day, I guess, tomorrow. Got two things that will hit tomorrow. Come 6, 7-ish a.m. Central Standard Time, the Fire and Friday podcast will definitely hit. That is Debbie from Walk the Talk America. So probably will pair fairly well with the podcast that Ghost has going on there. And we talk a lot about mental health and some of the things that the MHA, that's Mental Health America, is doing, partnering with those in the firearm industry. And then the 1,000-round review of the full-size Walther PPQ, that should hit Gear Report tomorrow. I believe it's scheduled to release tomorrow. So that will be the second review I've done over there on Gear Report. So go over there and give that a look and some support to the Gear Report. They were in the Patch Batch with us, of course, and they're doing great things over there. With that, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for talking dirty, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.